Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, home of the 2.66-mile monster, 33-degree bank monster. Again, we call it Talladega Super Speedway. As my good friend and president of Talladega Super Speedway, Mr. Grant Lynch, would say, this is more than a race. This is Talladega. Good evening, NASCAR fans. Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. And the number to call in is 215-383-3681. We have a pretty good lineup tonight. Stephen has... There's Mr. Alan Beswick from ESPN coming on at 7:15 Eastern Time. And we have Miss Liz Allison coming on at 7:30 Eastern Time. And the way Stephen talked, Alan's not going to be able to stay on long. And I don't know if he'll be able to take any questions. But if he can, we will probably take one question from Mr. Alan Beswick at ESPN. But let's go ahead and get everything started. Do our invocation and our national anthem and everything. And ladies and gentlemen, let's bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And with our national anthem tonight, our good friend, Miss Donna Elkins from Talladega Super Speedway.
Hey, Talladega Super Speedway is warning you not to
gentlemen, that's always fun to do, and let's go ahead and get this party started. My good friend Stephen Wilson, CEO of Speedway Digest, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Been dodging a little bit of weather. I'm sure y'all have been, too.
No, actually, it hadn't been too bad today. We got a little bit of reprieve, about 80 degrees or so today. Last couple of days, it's been blistering hot.
Yeah, we've been about the same way, too, and it's not been that bad here. I was watching the weather earlier, and I'm sure, I don't know if you got my text. I'll let Tim Campbell, our weatherman, talk about it. They had a tornado touchdown real close to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he's going to talk about that when he comes on. But Stephen, I know you had said that Alan can't stay on long, and you want me to go ahead and do a little post-race stuff for the Nationwide Series from this past weekend at Road America, and then you want to come in with some of the Cup stuff from Sonoma?
Sure thing.
Okay. All right, Tenfold. I'll start out with just a little bit right here. This is Fast Facts from Road America. The 5th Annual Gardner Denver 200 fired up by Johnsonville. The race winner was Brendan Gone, age 38, team number 62 South Point Chevrolet, owner Richard Childress, crew chief Shane Wilson. Brendan Gone won the 5th Annual Gardner Denver 200 fired up by Johnsonville, his first victory in 98 NASCAR Nationwide Series races. This is his first victory and third top 10 finish in 2014. This is his first victory and second top 10 finish in three races at Road America. Alex Tagliani posted a top 10 finish in his first NASCAR Nationwide Series race at Road America. Kevin O'Connell, third, posted his first top 10 finish in three races at Road America. Chase Elliott, fourth, was the highest finishing rookie. Reagan Smith leads the point standings by 10 points over Elliott Sadler. Just read off a little bit of the infraction sheet. I'm not going to read off where, unapproved adjustments to the tail end of the field before the race, but lap number 60, number 4, speed and exiting pits on the green, pass through. Number 76, lap 6, tire violation, remove the outside tire except for rolling the tire beyond the center of pit road. Number 42, lap 12, pitting before pit road is open. That was under yellow. Number 87, on lap 12, pitting before pit road was open. Same deal. Number 14, lap 27, too many crew members in contact with pit service area. The number 43, on lap 35, too many crew members in contact with the pit service area. That was on the green that passed through. The number 35, pitting on lap 35, pitting before pit road is open. That was green that's passed through. And the number 22, 49, lap 49, pitting before pit road is open. That was under yellow, tail of the field. The number 22 on lap 49, too many crew members in contact with pit service area, tail of the field. The number 22 on lap 49, driving through more than three pit boxes, tail end of the field. The number 31 on lap 49, pitting before pit road is open, tail end of the field. The number 31 on lap 49 also, driving through more than three pit boxes, tail end of the field. Okay, Stephen, you got the floor, my friend, if you want to talk about some of the post-race cup stuff from Sonoma.
Yeah, so this weekend we were at Sonoma Raceway for the SaveMart 350 out there. Carl Edwards brought it home at Victory Lane for his first win out there at Sonoma this weekend and his second of the year, which actually brings up a good question. Now that he has two wins out there, he's contending for the championship, it's just going to make you wonder whether he's going to leave Roush Fenway. He did say a couple weeks ago that there were going to be some changes there at Roush Fenway over the next few weeks to put him in a better position to win. And it looks like some of the things that Roush and the guys there have started implementing have started turning some results. This is actually, like I said, his second victory this year and his eighth top 10 of 2014. Dale Earnhardt Jr., he came in there third. He was running down the field trying to get out there to the leader, but ultimately he didn't have a chance to get out there. It was Austin Dillon. He was the highest finishing rookie of the race out there, and Jeff Gordon left Sonoma with the points championship again this week by 20 points over Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, and Stephen, me and you have talked before on the show. I keep going back to serious NASCAR. I hear people call in and say, yeah, we're going to have 16 different winners. Stephen, it ain't going to happen, buddy.
No, we're coming down to the point that we're now 10 races away from Richmond. And we're running out of opportunities for some of these drivers to visit Victory Lane. Right now, I think this last weekend, we have 11 different winners in the Cup Series, with half of those being multiple winners out there. We're not going to get to the 16 winners this year. I said at the beginning of the year that it probably was not going to happen, but now that we're getting so close to Richmond, it's definitely not going to happen unless something really turns around. We've got a lot of strong drivers out there this this year, Kevin Harvick. He's been running up there really well. He's got multiple wins. He's finished in second place and come within getting several other wins, not at Charlotte and a couple other places out there. And, you know, we're just not going to see it. Even Jimmy Johnson, I believe, will have another win out there. Jeff Gordon possibly is contending for another win after his run this weekend there at Sonoma, and you've got Carl Edwards and some of the other guys. You're just not going to see it.
Yeah, and, you know, me and you both, I think me and you both agreed at the first of the season, you know, you might see maybe 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that scenario. And, Stephen, you brought up a good point about Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. I mean, you know, that's three of the four Hendrick cards that have been running really, really well. When you take Casey Kane's been having a little bit of a bad luck here and there. I don't really know what's going on in their camp. But would you like to touch on a little bit about that, about Hendrick Motorsports? I mean, they're doing really well, all except for the five. And I hate to down the five, but I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I know earlier this season, Hendrick Motorsports just didn't seem like that they had a grip on the new aero package and the new cars that they were bringing out this year. They've definitely turned the tide. Even though that Dale Earnhardt Jr., he won there at Daytona to start the season off, they just kind of laid back a little bit. It didn't look like that they could contend for too many wins after that point, but they've made some changes there, evidently. Jimmy Johnson has multiple wins, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., they've all got multiple wins there. Casey Kane is in another lackluster year, but this seems like to be right on par as he's had for the last couple of years, where he seems to run very well, but he just gets spoiled by bad luck, whether a broken part or something of that nature. And I do believe that he's got this year and next year to turn it around. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure what everybody knows already, we're going to have Elliott in that car come 2016.
Yeah, and that's straight from Steven fans. And me and Steven have talked about that. That's just Steven's prediction, and I have definitely agreed with him. You might see Chase come up then. But Steven, I know we got a few minutes before you have to get in touch with Mr. Alan Beswick, but our good friend and big supporter, Todd Bigsby, Suzanne's got him holding on right here. I want to bring Todd on just for a second, Steven, and we'll let him ask you a question or two, or me or whatever Todd wants to. Let's bring Todd Bigsby, our good friend, on. How you doing tonight, Todd? You in a pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Good, guys, good. How is everybody
good,
there?
Good. We're good. Yeah, we're doing great, Todd. And we want to thank you again for supporting us. You know, we just do this for fun. And Stephen does a real great job, other than his radio network here that we're on, he's CEO of Speedway Digest. But, Todd, you got the floor for a minute if you want to ask Stephen any questions about the past or this past weekend, or if you want to jump to Kentucky. You and Stephen got it for a few minutes till we can bring Mr. Alan Beswick on.
Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm out here listening to the show and cooking on the grill.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Newest news I've heard is Home Depot's leaving Joe getting on NASCAR, leaving Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, that's the report from Business Insider that Home Depot, as everybody knows, they've reduced their sponsorship over the last three seasons there, and now we pretty much only see them on the rear deck or rear quarter panel. They've mostly been running Dollar General out there in the Husky brand, and it sounds like that after the end of this year that Home Depot will finally leave the sport in the Sprint Cup Series. There's been no word if they will go to another team or go to a lower division like the Nationwide or Trucks, but yes, currently they're on track this year, that this is potentially their last year on that number 20 car with Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yeah, that's a bummer. You know, in this past weekend, you know, with Junior coming in third, I was quite impressed with how he did on a road course versus how he usually used to do in the past.
Yeah, he did exceptionally well this weekend. He's put himself in contention this year. It seems like he's changed his mentality this year, too. He's running up front a lot. He started off the year with a win, so that's given him a lot of boost this year going into the championship standings out here, and he's already got two wins, and he's got a couple tracks coming up. So, yeah, he did exceptionally well this weekend on the road course.
Well, to be a little bit funny, because, you know, I got to be humorous, do you think his new girlfriend's helped out?
Oh, yes, she has.
Tim, I'm going to let you take over that one. I'm going to give Alan a call here, and I'll be right back.
All right, Tim, for a bit. I got you going in there. Todd, let me see if I can think of a question. Yeah, it might be. But, you know, Todd, ever since Mr. Stevie Letart announced earlier that he was going to be moving on to some other things. He was not going to be Dale Jr.'s crew chief. He's going to be broadcasting with NBC. And, you know, I don't know if that was a pep up, too, with Junior having his new girlfriend and Stevie Letart moving on to broadcasting, and we don't know, we ain't got a clue who is going to be Dale Jr.'s crew chief next year. And I got some thoughts, but I'd rather not say them. But, yeah, I think it's just a matter of everybody, the whole team at Hendrick Motorsports with Dale Jr. They're wanting to do real good with Stevie Letart's last year crew chiefing for Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, I mean, especially after this year, you know, having a good year, and wow.
Yeah, I know it. And, you know, I don't know if you were listening earlier, you know, we were talking about Hendrick Motorsports in a hole. You know, Jimmy Johnson doing real good, Jeff Gordon doing real good, Dale Earnhardt Jr. doing real good, and it's like Casey Kane's falling off the map. You know, he's sort of like the black sheep of the group. Don't know what's going on there. And Stephen, you know, mentioned earlier, his prediction is you're probably going to see Chase Elliott in that five car maybe next year or the year after that.
Yeah, I was hearing a little something about that, and I mean, right now, I mean, yeah, it's kind of looking that way, but, I mean, those guys are really good at picking who they want in their cars. And if it is it, then, you know, I'll go along with it because I'm a big Hendrick fan.
Yes, sir. I am, too. I'm a big Hendrick fan. I'm a big Chevrolet fan, but I can't be biased because I'm a big NASCAR fan. I don't care if one of them drives a Yugo or a Pinto. I love NASCAR, and I want to give a big shout out to every NASCAR driver, every team puts on a great show every weekend. And you know as well as I do, Todd, whenever you strap yourself in that 3,400-pound stock car, you don't know if you're going to unstrap yourself or somebody, or if a safety crew member is going to unstrap yourself for you.
Yep, very so true. You know, and they do. I mean, for me, being a fan of racing and NASCAR, you know, I look forward to every week of racing. When they have that off week, oh, boy, you know that's a big downtime.
Yeah, I know. And, Todd, I hate to interrupt, but Stephen has Mr. Alan Beswick on, and we're going to let Stephen bring him on and do that. Todd, I'll stick you on the side and let you listen, bud.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Stephen. You got the floor, bud.
Thank you, Alan, for coming on the show tonight. I appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule to come on our radio show. First question I want to start out with, you've been around the sport quite some time, and we've gotten into a generation where social media really has taken off, and that has changed the way that people are consuming media and consuming the races on the weekend. How does that change the way that you're calling the races each weekend from the booth?
You know, Stephen, it really doesn't. The job is still the same. The job is still to document the event and accurately you know, bring home what happened and why, providing people information that maybe they don't have privy to by not being at the racetrack, which we have access to. The social media stuff is fun. It's a way to interact directly with fans in an era when, you know, before that, mass media really didn't give you much access to that. But as far as what actually happens on Saturday or Sunday, it hasn't changed that a whole lot. It's still, you know, the job is still the same. The race is the race, and your job is to televise the race and show people, you know, what happened and the interaction through social media really hasn't changed that a whole lot.
And this year you've kind of moved over where that you're also starting to commentate on some of the IndyCar races, obviously with ESPN moving away from the NASCAR series at the end of this season. How different is it to call those races between NASCAR that you've been so long involved in?
It really isn't. It's just different ways of going about the same thing. The cars are different. But beyond that, aside of some terminology, it's all the same. You know, NASCAR racing, it's funny because NASCAR's gotten so competitive that the strategy and what you do on the pit lane and with your fuel and so on to get yourself improved track position has become so critical. Well, it's the same thing with IndyCar. The rules box is tight, just like it is with NASCAR. So the competition is really close. So what you do to get yourself ahead of the next guy, what happens on pit road has more to do with that than it used to. So really, it's all the same. You know, the Indianapolis 500, it's funny because I had people tell me, you know, what a different experience it was going to be for me. But I found, for the most part, it to be really similar than the Brickyard 400. The competition's tight. The booth is the same. The gate you get into the racetrack's the same. Where you go get your credential is the same. You know, it's all the same, just, you know, some different terminology is involved in accomplishing the same thing.
And I know that, you know, ESPN, they broadcast the entire nationwide series this year, as they've done in years past, but they're very limited, as with the rest of the networks that have a very limited schedule on the Sprint Cup Series, by the way that the TV contracts are written. How do you relate to fans knowing that you only have but so many weeks there on the Sprint Cup schedule to broadcast the races out?
Well, 17 weeks is a long time. You know, that's almost half the season where points-paying races are concerned that are ours. And the whole build-up to the chase is ours. The whole chase is ours. The champion will be crowned on our air. So even though it seems like when you stop and think about three different broadcasters sharing the rights to the season, it seems like it might be a brief go, it's an awful long time. You know, I mean, we're going to go from late July through late November every week on the air. And So as far as relating to fans, you know, first of all, they know where to find the races. They know who's going to be doing the races. They know what to expect of the races. And there's more at stake than at any other time of the year. So I think, you know, I look at it more that we feel privileged to have the portion of the season that we do and the great things to cover that we get to cover. And we just want to, you know, back to what I was talking about before, be appropriate in documenting the event and letting what's at stake speak for itself. Well, you know, especially this year, we get down to these chase races that are elimination races and so on. I don't have to build up what's going to happen. You as a fan know. I just have to document the event and help you see why it happened and what was important to it happening. You know, beyond that, it'll speak for itself, and the object is, you know, don't get in the way of it. Let it go.
And I got one final question for you, and I'm going to throw you to Tim if he's got a question for you. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, we know, everybody knows ESPN, that's their last year covering NASCAR. You personally, you've worked with a lot of great talent over the years in NASCAR, from your days all the way back working with Benny Parsons. What are some of the things you feel that you personally are going to miss about being able to broadcast those races out to the fans every week?
The people. Very, very simply, Stephen, the people. I've had a lot of chance to reflect on this as the decision of where to spend my future came about, and how to go about it, and so on. And as after I made that decision, and I've started to go about digesting it, when I think, you know, I'll just use an example. Daytona is coming up a week from next, and Daytona has been such an important part of my life, personally. When I went to work for MRN, my office was in the infield of Daytona Speedway. I had the keys to the gates of Daytona Speedway. My children grew up in Daytona Beach, primarily. And the place has been such an important part of my life overall. But when I think about Daytona or Rockingham, or you name the racetrack, I don't necessarily think about a race. I think about a story that usually revolves around people. When I think about Michigan, I think about going to eat ice cream at the Jackson Dairy with Barney Hall and Dick Brooks. When I think about Pocono, I think about a race there where we had a rain delay and all got stuck on a Sunday night and couldn't find a place to stay, and we were scrambling around trying to find, you know, a whole pile of us together. I think about people, and I think about stories more than I think about the races themselves. And so what I'm going to miss the most are the people, the great drivers that I've come to know, the great friends that I've come to make. That means so much more to me than any individual race itself. And that's what, you know, you mentioned Benny, Benny was one of my best friends on this planet. I could tell Benny stories from now till an hour from now. And those are the things that I'll miss, that I can never replace, and that I will treasure the most from my nearly 30 years of covering these NASCAR races.
Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight, and I know you're very limited on this, and I think Tim might have one quick question for you here, and I'm going to throw it over to him.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Mr. Alan Beskow. I want to thank you very much for everything that you've done for the sport over the years, everything ESPN has done for the sport. I've lived here in Talladega, Alabama my whole life, grew up watching NASCAR, going to the races, used to work for Mr. Enoch Staley here at Talladega Super Speedway. But I want to thank you very much for everything that y'all have done for the sport.
I won't pretend to speak for everyone that came before me at ESPN, but I can tell you for ESPN 2.0, if you will, it's been a blast. We have a family. When it's time to set the headsets on the desk at Homestead, it's going to be really emotional and really difficult because we spend a lot of time together. We've become great friends. And while spending as much time away from your family as we do is difficult on everybody, we've had a blast, and we're all going to miss it and miss being together every week. It's been magical, you know. How do you explain this in life, that you end up getting to do this for so long with so many good people? It's really been a magical ride, and thanks don't go to me, because the pleasure has been all mine. It's been a blast that I can't even begin to describe.
Yes, sir, I definitely understand. And before you leave, I know Stephen said your time is limited. Can I ask you maybe a twofold question here?
You ask away. I'm in good shape on time. You ask away. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. Just a little quick question here. What is your thoughts on? It's going to be like a twofold question, Alan. What is your thoughts on the new knockout qualifying that NASCAR has implemented, and what is your thoughts on the new chase scenario that NASCAR has implemented?
On the qualifying, long time coming. I was a proponent quietly for years of NASCAR going to a Formula One style or road racing style qualifying, where you just open the track up for 45 minutes and let everybody go. One car at a time on a racetrack is boring as all get out. And we're not in the age anymore like we were, you know, decades ago at Talladega of watching for the number, watching for the 212, watching for the 210. You know, those times have passed for safety reasons. So I was a very big proponent of throwing them all out there at once and just letting them go. From a fan interest point of view, you gain two things. You gain a more consistent time every week. You know, one at a half-mile track, qualifying would take 47 minutes. At a place like Talladega, it'd take 2 hours and 47 minutes. That's not good for anybody.
Right.
It's not good for fans. It's not good for television. It's not good, you know. So coming to a more consistent format was better for everyone. And there's just more to talk about and more to watch now. You know, people getting in each other's way. People get mad at each other. Who's on fresh tires? Who's not? This, that, and the other thing. There are still a few more things I think they could do to open it up even more. But it's a great first step what they're doing now, and I'm a big, big fan of it for sure. As far as the chase is concerned, there's pros and cons to the change to the knockout style chase. I feel like when we get through it the first time, there'll always be people who are hardcores or old liners or whatever you want to call them, and I say that very respectfully because I'm very much a traditionalist in sports. I'm still not sure I like the designated hitter, and my baseball team's got one of the best there ever was at that position. But there'll still be people that aren't sold on it and just don't like change. We as human beings don't like change. But I'm going to tell you what, I just envisioning this going forward, I can't imagine finding any more excitement than it's going to be at those races that are those elimination races and that race at Homestead and what it's going to come down to. First year of the chase down at Homestead, we had three drivers,
yes, sir,
in the last 10 laps of the race slugging it out for the championship, and none of us had any idea who was going to win, you know, versus the years where... I mean, I can remember, you know, one of the greatest drivers ever, Dale Earnhardt, locking up the championship with three races to go in the season. I can remember doing the champions interview with Dale at Rockingham when we still had two more places to go. We don't have that anymore, and I think that's really exciting. People don't remember that the team that won the Super Bowl was a wild card team in the playoff. They didn't even win their division. People don't remember that. All they cared about was that they were the Super Bowl champions. And I believe if we as race fans, and I am a race fan, if we give this format a couple of years, we're going to find it's awfully darn exciting to watch. This has been something that I've been in favor of NASCAR going to for a few years. I'm glad they jumped off and did it. I think it's going to be fabulous to watch, and I'm really happy I get to broadcast the first one.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Alan. And then again, you know, I hate to keep bringing it up, but y'all have done a great job over the years. Yourself, Doc, everybody has done a great job from ESPN, and I want to thank you for taking time to come on our show. And I'll hand you back over to Stephen, and if Stephen has something else, or we can let you go. But I want to give – just let me do this. I got some buttons, Alan. This is a big shout-out to ESPN for all the years that they have handled NASCAR. Let me do this, and I'll hand you to Stephen. Thank you very much, Alan. I'm going to hand you over to Stephen again. Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's been a great ride.
Well,
yes,
Alan, that's all the questions I had for you tonight. I do appreciate you coming on our show tonight and talking a little NASCAR and what you've got going on in the future. And good luck in the future. Wish you the best of luck. And you are going to be missed on ESPN and in NASCAR next year.
It's been a great ride. I could never have asked for more than it's been. And it's been my privilege and my honor. And I'll still be a fan and look forward to watching and following for many more years down the road while I'm doing other things.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate you coming on tonight.
All right, Stephen. Great. Have a great night.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Alan Beswick from ESPN. Stephen, I'm sort of like that too. I mean, you know, ESPN's been around the sports so long, and I mean, you know, which Fox does a good job, TNT does a good job. You know, we had Double A on the show a couple of weeks ago, and Stephen, are you there? I think we've lost Stephen. Let me see if Todd's here. Todd,
yeah,
are you
here,
my friend? Okay, we've had a few drops. Yeah, that was Alan Beswick. Sorry we couldn't get you on, Todd. But yeah, I mean, you know, ESPN is definitely going to be missed. I mean, you know, we've got Fox Sports, we got TNT. You know, we had Double A on the show a few weeks ago, and Double A has agreed, him and Larry Mack, if they got time after this summer shootout, they're all going to come back on. And here's Stephen. I don't know what happened, Stephen. Stephen, are you there, my friend?
Yeah, man, I dropped you guys when I was trying to get Alan off the phone. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I had brought Todd in, and I was talking a while ago, and I think I was on mute anyway. But yeah, I was just telling Todd about ESPN is gonna definitely be missed. I mean, you know, you take Fox Sports, you take TNT. Everybody does a good job, but I mean, Stephen, how do they go about, which I know it's money, I mean, how do they go about, I mean, getting, you know what I'm saying, who's going to air the race? Do they all sit down and have a big group meeting with all the networks, or, Stephen, do you know how that works? I don't.
From my understanding, and this is just my perspective on it from what I know of it, is that, yes, NASCAR does sit down with all the potential networks that come out and say, I would like to broadcast some of your races, whether it be trucks, nationwide, Sprint Cup, camping, the K&N series, and they sit down with them and they hammer out a deal. And what they do is they look at the economics of what other sports are charging. You know, they look at Major League Baseball, they look at football, they look at basketball, they look at all of these other sports and what type of money is being paid for the rights to broadcast these races. Now, obviously, as we know, in no other sport out there is it contained to one network, ABC, NBC, ESPN, etc. These networks, they unfortunately have no choice but to limit their schedule on what they can and cannot broadcast each week. I mean, it's a major undertaking considering that they have to bring equipment, they have people that have to come out. You know, that's a big expense to them. And then they have to then go to their advertisers and justify what they are charging for advertising to make sure that they are able to produce the amount of money that NASCAR or any sport out there is requesting each year for the broadcast rights. And you know that we're in an economic, you know, depression right now. It's hard to get sponsors. It's hard to get advertisers. And, you know, they advertise and sponsor anything they think they can get a logo or a name or something out on the air, but you know, it all just comes back. We all know it comes down to money, and you know, it's not NASCAR's fault. It's not ESPN's fault. It's not NBC's fault that, you know, they can only broadcast with so many races. It's just the economics of it all that it just prohibits one network from doing so.
Right, right. And Stephen, we've got Miss Liz Allison right here on hold, and I know she will definitely know. She is really smart about all this sponsorship and stuff. But let's bring Miss Liz on and see what I got. A button, Liz. This is for you.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, I love it. What a great
Miss
intro.
Liz. Well, thank you. How you doing, Miss Liz?
I am doing great. I'm doing great. I'm on the road this weekend, and actually Robbie's here for a few days, so that's always a good thing. So good to be on with you guys.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. And, you know, we had Robbie on, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. My mind goes blank because there's so much going on. But, yeah, Robbie, I want to give a big shout-out to y'all. Y'all raised two great kids, Robbie, Krista, gentlemen. I mean, everything, yes or no, sir. Y'all done really great, Liz. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, we as parents, we do the best that we can and hope for the best. And they're by no means perfect. But I appreciate saying that because they're good kids. They're good adults, I should say. Now, they'll always be kids to me, but adults now, which is hard to believe.
Yes, ma'am, I know. I remember when I was out there at the racetrack in the – back in the day, they was a little bitty when I seen y'all, which I never really spoke to you. But anyway, Liz, thank you very much for coming on, and I know your time is limited, but you're in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson, my good friend Stephen Wilson, CEO of Speedway Digest in Martinville, and I'm in Talladega. And Liz, I'm going to let, if you don't mind, let Stephen ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Liz, thanks for coming on the show tonight. Biggest question I have for you, you've been around the sport for quite some time. Everybody knows that you were married to Davey, and it's a tragic thing that happened with him. Over the years, how much have you seen the sport change for the good?
Oh, wow. I mean, there's been, first of all, so many changes across the board. I mean, the obvious and some maybe that are not so obvious. But, you know, for the good, I would say that you know, the sport, as far as the growth, I mean, certainly we know that we're all in a depression of sorts when it comes to sponsorship and more on the financial side of things. But overall, over the course of my 28 years now in the sport, it has grown a lot. It's done so much for the sport. It's done so much for the sponsors and really for the young drivers. When you look at Davey when he first started racing and those guys, I mean, so few of them really had the opportunity to go out and to race and to go at different series. You know, now there's so many different series. There's the ARCA series and the K&N series, and there's so many different routes that you can go with racing. You don't have to go Sprint Cup racing to be successful in motorsports. And I love that there's so many opportunities, not only for racers, but also for the crew guys, the engineers, and you know, media representatives, and there's a lot of opportunities there. We also have seen it change as far as females are concerned. I mean, even before Danica Patrick, I mean, Janet Guthrie, and I mean, Patty Moise, I mean, even Robin Dahlenbach, they all have certainly helped pave the way for what we're seeing happen with females in motorsports now. So I think off the cuff, those are the two things that really come to mind for me.
And being part of the Allison family, there's a lot of drivers coming up now through it. You've got Robbie, you've got Justin. We had Robbie on not too long ago on the show, and I posed the same question to him, but I'd like to know your thoughts on this also. How much does that help or hurt you guys being Allisons coming up to the sport?
Well, it's both, really. I mean, it's the expectations, I think, that people And it's not a malicious expectation. It's just it's really the hope. You know, it's the people look at Robbie and Justin, of course, as Uncle Donnie's grandson, Kenny's son. You know, they look with them with just wide eyes, and they're so hopeful that another Allison can make it to the big time and go out there so that they have someone to root for that brings them back to the day of when Bobby was there and Davey was there. And I get it. I understand that, too. I mean, because I'm a fan of the sport, so I understand that connection that fans have to their drivers. You know, on the flip side, whether it's Justin or Robbie or you know, any other legacy driver, these guys or females, whatever it may be, they have to develop their skills in their own manner. They come to be their own driver as they are. And while there's things that Robbie certainly reminds me of when he's racing of his dad, Davey, there's so many different things about Robbie and that are nothing like his dad, driving style or personality-wise, and that's a good thing because as a parent, I want Robbie to be who he is, not who his dad was or who he thinks somebody should want him to be. So I think there's the flip side. There's those sides of the coin. One of the positive things that you would think would be that sponsors would just flock in to be with the Allisons. That doesn't happen. It's just as hard finding sponsorship for us as it is for, you know, a name that somebody might not recognize on the circuit. We have State Water Heaters on with Robbie right now. And when I tell you that we will be loyal two state water heaters until we take our last breath, because we work so hard to get that sponsorship. And, you know, and we're making it, we need more funding to do what we need to do this year, but we're so grateful for what we have. So I think that's probably, some people would think, oh, it's easy for them, they go get sponsorship. No, it does not happen any easier. And in some cases, it's even harder than other people. So so certainly both sides of the coin.
And looking to the future of the Allison family, and obviously, you know, Robbie and everybody come up, where are y'all hopeful to be at in the next couple of years, provided you have the funding and spot in a car that you'll be able to go out there and run on the weekends?
Well, as far as Robbie is concerned, I mean, I can only speak to Robbie. I mean, certainly Justin's, you know, going about his path, you know, a different way. But Robbie is right now currently is driving the number 12. And I know a lot of people were like, what? Because he had the opportunity to go with the 28 or the 12. And he decided to go with the 12, of course, one of Bobby's car numbers that many people are familiar with. And so he's in the number 12 State Water Heaters legacy car right now, which is obviously the Allison legacy car. So he's working with Donnie Allison and Kenny Allison. And Justin was at Dillon this past weekend, Dillon, South Carolina, helping Robbie. And so Bobby and Judy Allison were there. It was a beautiful sight to have all of the Allisons here in the low country of South Carolina, back to the root of the sport, and that's the meat and the potatoes of the sport, which is the short track racing, the local track. So it was so much fun to be there. The race was rained out, but right now that's what he's doing. He's also running the pro karts. By the end of the fall, we're looking late fall, will be late model racing, and is going to look at the Southern Regional Series to start right at the end of the year, and then moving into the beach bash at New Smyrna in February, and then running full late models next year, but during the touring series. And so that's kind of where we are the next 2 years. I mean, within 5 years, we hope to you know, we're hopeful if things continue to go as they do funding-wise and experience-wise, that Robbie will be in the top three series of NASCAR, which we know is trucks nationwide and cups. So working with Lauren Rainier, and they're working really hard, and I feel confident that they'll be exactly where they should be in 5 years.
And just my final question, and I do appreciate you coming on tonight. Are you surprised that Robbie is following in his dad's footsteps?
Yeah, I am a little bit. I mean, but, you know, people say, how could you be surprised? And that's really kind of where I am now. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't know how I could be surprised. Because, it's so much a part of our family. Robbie grew up in a different era of the other Allisons, of course, you know, with Davey dying when Robbie was so young. Robbie was just a year and a half at the time, and so, you know, growing up in Nashville, I didn't have Robbie in Bobby Hamilton shops and Joe Marlin shops. You know, he was kind of having the normal childhood, and so when he kind of, you know, was open with me about it and came clean on, hey, I want to do this, I've been kind of hiding this from you for a while, then, you know, it's like any parent. You want your kids to be happy, safe and happy and prosperous. And so, I got behind him and supported him and his efforts.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate you answering my questions. And I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Don't let him give you too much grief about Humpy and Wheeler and his stories from a couple weeks ago about you guys.
Oh, my goodness, there's no telling. But, hey, I have to say, I heard that Alan Beswick was on before me, and you know, I worked with Alan at TNT, was one of my really good, still is one of my good buddies in the sport. So I was thrilled to hear that he was on before I was.
Yeah,
well,
Alan's a good
Liz.
Guy,
thank
and he's going to be missed.
Yes. And, Liz, what Stephen is probably pertaining to is, you know, we had Humpy on, and we had Robbie on, and then Robbie got off, and then Humpy wanted me to get Robbie back on. You know how Humpy is. Well, I don't know if Robbie told you, but I'm pretty sure you might have heard the story or listened to the show. Humpy was saying him and Larry Mack, and I can't remember who else. It might have been Bobby. They went to lunch or something, and Humpy give – no, Bobby was not there. Humpy give Larry Mack the bowl that – Robbie was baptized in at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Oh my goodness.
Okay, well, I probably messed it up. It might have supposed to have been a surprise, but he told Humpy told the whole story about you and Davey and everything there at Charlotte Motor Speedway about baptizing Robbie, and it was really cool, Liz.
Oh, I know. I love it. Well, so that's pretty neat to know that the bowl is with Larry McReynolds.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, I hope Larry's not listening, which we got him coming back on later. Maybe he's not listening. He might call me and get on to me. I might have busted the bubble. I'm sorry. But anyway, Liz, I know your time is limited, but enough about NASCAR. I want to give you opportunity to talk about your radio show there in Nashville, and I think you've wrote a few books. If you want to talk about what you do, you got the floor, Liz.
I've stayed in the sport, and after Davey died, I took about 5 years away from the sport to obviously focus on the kids and kind of regroup. And then in 1998, I went back working in the sport from the media side of things, and started writing, and I've had 13 published NASCAR books to date. So it's just somebody said, well, gosh, you know, do you enjoy writing? And I said, yeah, when I'm done. That's one of those things that it's, I don't think it's that much fun when I'm doing it, but I love it when I'm done. But I also am a NASCAR event coordinator for corporations at the Sprint Cup level. So I go to anywhere from 12 to 15 races a year doing hospitality events for corporations. And then I'm also working with Robbie and managing his racing right now and sponsorship, and I have my radio show here in Nashville. I've been doing radio here in Nashville for 10 years now, almost 11 years. So it's been such a blessing. And as you guys probably know, I worked as a pit reporter for TNT and worked with Alan Bestwick and those guys. So it's interesting to see now TNT rolling out of the picture at the end of the year, ESPN, ABC back out. Because when I was in with TNT, ABC and ESPN were out at the time. So it will be interesting. And, of course, with NASCAR now being canceled on ESPN, ABC, it will be, and we kind of all knew that was coming, but I'm interested to see what will happen with the new grouping that's coming in with NBC, but all of those guys that are there, Sam Flood, Jeff Benke, they were all guys that I worked with at TNT, so they know the sport very well. These are all producers and executive producers on the back side of things, so I feel like they're in good hands, and excited to see Jeff Burton in the booth as well.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, speaking of Jeff Burton, I want to thank you for taking the time out to, you know, talk to myself and my wife, Suzanne, here at the David Osborne Walk of Fame induction this past October. You know, we really enjoy going to that, and we hope the funds keep coming in, you know, to support the Texaco David Osborne Walk of Fame. And going to be coming next year, Liz?
Oh, of course, yes. We'll definitely be there. We come as often as we can because it's so special to us. And sometimes there's conflicts and we can't get there. But Robbie and Krista enjoy it very much too. They went through a time where it didn't feel so great, and it was very painful for them to be in and around the Talladega and some of the things that go with that is the Walk of Fame. But now they're at the point in their lives where they've really come to embrace that. And it's really special to be able to experience that with them. So I feel certain, Lord willing, that we'll be there as many times as we can.
Well, good, Liz. And, you know, Larry Mack and Steve Post, you know, they all come too. And we have a big – but I think what the best part of it is the little finger food stuff, eating. And I know Steve Post. You know Steve. Steve loves a buffet.
He loves a buffet. And, hey, I'm going to tell a little secret on him. He had the big 5-0 birthday last week. So we'll have to send him a belated birthday wish. But, yeah, Steve Post is the best. I'll tell you all a funny little story real quick. So years ago when I was working for TNT, actually, I was covering the banquet there, the NASCAR Sprint Cup banquet, and it was when it was still in New York at the Waldorf. And at the time, Jeff Gordon had won the championship, and so the way it rolls is whoever wins the championship has a champion's party, and they provide the entertainment, and they, you know, they go all out for all the competitors that are there and everybody in the business. So that year, Jeff Gordon hired Casey and the Sunshine Band. I don't know if y'all remember Casey and the Sunshine Band. So they brought them in, and they played there for the Champions Party. And I spent the majority of the evening with Steve Post dancing to Casey and the Sunshine Band. So that's a really bad picture of Steve and I, but I tell you, he's a really good friend and just a great guy, and I always love being with him.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And me and Steve tweet, we tweet back and forth every now and then. You know, he loves food. Food
well,
pictures,
you know,
man.
What? Most of us do. You know, it's all in moderation, right?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And, Liz, thank you very much. And if I don't get to talk to you, I hope I get to see you at the Walk of Fame induction here. If not, maybe meet myself and Susanna, see you at the Media Center or something at the race in October.
That sounds great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Liz. Don't be a stranger.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, Stephen, that was Miss Liz Allison, and we've got we've got Tim Campbell waiting, we've got Tony B waiting. Stephen, I'm going to bring on Tim Campbell and let him do our, I know he's got some stuff to talk about the tornado and stuff. We're going to bring Tim Campbell on, our weather guy.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Tim Campbell, you're in the pit stop. Tim to Spain and Stephen Wilson live from Talladega, Alabama. How you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Just trying to keep up with those tornadoes and storms that's rolling around out there.
Yeah, I know. I got your text earlier. I don't remember if I sent it to Stephen. I've been busy a little bit, but sorry to keep you on hold for so long because we had a lot of stuff going on. But, Tim, you got the floor. You can go ahead and talk about what's happening now, whatever you want to talk about. You're our weather guy. You got it.
Okay, yeah, we're just following a few storms out there. We had a large wedge supercell that got real close to the speedway in Indianapolis, and they said it destroyed three houses, but I haven't got any finals on that yet, but I've seen some of the pictures, and it picked up big old campers and threw them into houses and stuff like that, and it was really pretty devastating, and I hope everybody got out of there. I don't think there was any fatalities, and hopefully nobody got hurt and everybody got the shoulder, and we've got storms rolling across Kansas and up in southwest Kansas and central Kansas, and we've seen some pretty good supercell storms up in there, and we got some down around Fort Worth, Texas. We got some pretty good storms down in there, and you know, we're just kind of watching storms all the way around today, and for the weekend, looked like on Thursday for our first race, that's when we're having the NASCAR camping truck deal, and it looks like it's going to be Thursday, going to be partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s, and northwest winds 5 mph, and at night it's going to be lows in the 60s, and winds are going to be light and bearable. And on Friday we got partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid 80s and lows in the upper 60s with a 30% chance of rain. And on Saturday we got mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s, and chance of rain 50%. But hopefully, and then Sunday is going to be partly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, again, high in the mid-80s, and lows in the 70s with a 30% chance of thunderstorms. And hopefully that'll all get moved out, and the weather will change. It's pretty hard to predict the weather that many days ahead, so hopefully hopefully it's going to get all moved out and set before the race gets in there, and you know, we have camp to dry out, and we'll have some good racing going on.
That sounds good. That sounds good, Tim. And, I know, you know, me and you talk about it every week. It's hard to predict the weather that far out. And I want to thank you for continuously posting on our page and on the Speedway Digest Radio page. That way everybody can keep up with what all's going on and everything. But yeah, I want to thank you very much, Tim. And is there anything you want to talk about your spotter teams and all that? You got the floor, bud. We'll let you have some time to talk about that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I posted a picture on the pit stop page of the Supercell that got close to the Speedway back there. If anybody would like to go on there and look at it. And yeah, I've got the Stillwater Skywarn Storm Team group out here, and I'm based out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, home of the OSU Cowboys. And we watch weather all over the United States. Just, you know, we're all volunteer group. And I figure our pay is if we can keep somebody from getting killed or hurt, then that's how we get paid for what we do. And we enjoy it. And I enjoy it. I'm forecasting the weather also for Weather Ag out of California, doing some weather forecasting for them and stuff like that. And I do about anything weather. That's my passion, and I think that's what I enjoy doing most is weather. So anything you hear out of me will probably be weather.
That sounds good, Tim. Mm-hmm. And now you have a website, too, if you want to throw out the website address to all our fans.
Okay, yeah, I have a website, and it's www.skywarnweather.weebly.com. You can go on there, and I've got the live feed on there of the weather, daily weather, and out of Oklahoma and nationwide, and all the warnings and stuff that from all over the United States is on there. And so just go on there, and hopefully it'll help somebody out.
Okay, sounds good. And, Tim, I want to tell you, Stephen told me in a text earlier today that he checked his weather channel up there in Martinville, Virginia, and he said you've got 3 inches of snow.
Oh, I wish we'd get 3 inches of snow. I can handle it. I'm not tired of this hot weather. I'm ready for the snow to start flying.
I know it. And Tim, I want to thank you again. We've got a good friend, Tony B. Waiting. I want to thank you again. I'll put you over in the hole on the mute side, and you do a great job, bud. Thanks for everything you do.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, buddy. See you. All right. We're going to bring on, Stephen, anything you want to talk about before we bring on Tony B.? He's been on hold. He's probably about ready to jump through the phone at me.
No, I'll let Tony come on and do his open wheel segment. I think we've covered pretty much NASCAR for the night.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tony B., as I would say, Indianapolis 500 champion crew member with Indianapolis, I think it was Dario Franchitti in 2012. Don't let me get the line, but let's bring Mr. Tony B. on with his segment, Everything Open Wheel. If I can get my button to play.
Say hello to my new friend.
Okay, that was just a perfect beginning. And things are going quite well in the open wheel industry. And let me tell you what, I briefly spoke about Formula One last week, and I indicated that Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton in the Mercedes were doing quite well. Well, they finished 1-2 in the Austria Grand Prix, and Nico Rosberg won and Lewis Hamilton second, and they are getting ready to move on to the British Grand Prix in Silverstone, July 4th through the 6th. So any of you Formula One fans out there, they're really putting on a good program. It's great racing, great pit stops, and, you know, the sanctioning body does a good job with those guys, and it's really something good to watch. Back in the USFA, Will Power is leading the Verizon IndyCar League. He's got a 39-point lead going into Houston. The time that I spent in IndyCar, that's not enough of a lead for Will Power. I look for things to get very, very good in IndyCar as far as points go. And the next three races are likely to impact the standings quite a bit. You know, you've got Elio Castroneves at 39 points back. And Ryan Hunter Ray, past champion, not last year. Scott Dixon was last year. In 2012, Ryan Hunter Ray won the points championship. And Will Power should have won those points, but he made a bad move at Fontana and crashed and lost the points championship. Tim, do you or Steve, do you remember the chronicles and the bad times that Will Power has had coming to try to win the championship?
Tim, I don't, because I don't follow enough open wheel racing, as I think we've discussed before. I'm not very up on other than like the Indy 500 and things of that nature.
Well, that's quite all right.
Yeah, Tony, yes, I have, you know, I'm like Steven, you know, I don't follow it that much, but I watch it whenever I can. I remember some of that stuff, Tony.
Yeah, it's been quite a breaking drama over the years, and Will Power has been in position on several occasions to win the championship and not follow through. Touching over to you guys a little bit, Steven and Tim, how about Grant Enfinger? That kid is incredible. And in the ARCA race, he has an altercation in the first of the race and comes from the back to win that race. And I must say, he's a quite impressive young man, and I'm sure NASCAR is really looking forward to having Grant be part of that program. But I want to let you folks know that if you need any representation, I will be in Winchester, and I will be with Mr. Grant Enfinger, and I would love to see him win there. In my tenure as safety director for the American Speed Association, that race at Winchester was ASA's. And it is a great race, and I truly look forward to it and being there for Grant and seeing him perform.
Oh, yeah, Grant this year, man. He was on a tear, winning everything that comes along. And, you know, I think it was just a bad deal with he ran a couple races there in the Nationwide Series, I think one or two races there in the Truck Series. But, yeah, he's come back into the ARCA Series, and he's definitely picked up a lot of following, especially, you know, he went out there, I think it was like three or four wins in a row out there earlier this year. He ran one at Mobile, one at a couple other events earlier this year. But, yeah, he's definitely on a tear, and I think he'll be somebody else we'll see very, very shortly coming up through the ranks in NASCAR.
You know, it was I have to give it up for the broadcasting company. They did an amazing job broadcasting that race from Minnesota. You know, he didn't come from the – you know, he started up front. Had an altercation, had to go to the tail, and he lapped everybody in that field. And it wasn't a bunch of also-rans. You know, Will Kimmel was in that race. Kenny Schrader. There were some very, very talented drivers. And he really knows how to save his tires, how to talk with his pit crew. And I'm telling you, if anybody wants to get on board now, Grant Infinger is going to be a NASCAR hero, and it's not very far away. And I just, a big shout out to Grant Infinger. I was very blessed to be able to talk to him on the Pit Stop Radio with you, Stephen, and you, Tim. And I've really followed him, and he's really doing some good things.
Thanks,
yeah,
Tony. And, you know, Grant's a real good friend of mine. You know, me and Grant, I think we've had him on here, and we've had him on my prior radio show, I think. And Grant's really cool, and I want to throw out there, you know, Garrett Smithley. We've had Buster Graham from Arca Series. We've had my good friend Will Kimmel, just to throw something out there. And Will is running Will's fishing to get married, ladies and gentlemen. So Will is off the table. But my good friend Will Kimmel, you know, he's running a limited schedule in the Arca with Ingersoll Rand and Circle Track. And he's been doing really good, too. And he's running a limited schedule in the NASCAR Nationwide Series, too. And I want to throw that out there. And, you know, Mr. Bill Kimmel, you know, they do Michael Lira's. They got Michael Lira and that other guy. I don't want to mess his name up, so I'm just not going to say it. But, yeah, Grant's doing really well. And Will, with the time that he has in the car, is doing very well. Myself and Suzanne hung out with the Kimmels here at Talladega Super Speedway when they had their ARCA race. And one of the practices, Will was fastest in practice. And he ended up, I think he qualified fourth. Well, we were in the pit stall with Bill and them, and he dropped back to lap six. They were running single file, and it was getting close to whenever they were going to pit. You know, we couldn't hear. We didn't have no headsets to what was going on, but about, I think it was 30-something in, he was getting ready to pit. Well, he come down pit road, and we were right there at, they had an entrance where they could come behind the wall right there. And the car come down quiet. I thought, oh, Lord, what in the world's going on? Well, the bottom end of the motor come out from under. And Will told me, he said, Tim, how in the world do you lose a motor on a restrictor plate racetrack? And just like Bill said, Tim, if that boy didn't have, if he had no luck at all, he wouldn't have no luck. That's just the way. And, you know, back in Daytona, he had Bill and Will brought the same car that they wrecked in Daytona, because I hung out with them, so I could see where they cut out the front end and welded some new stuff on where it wasn't painted. But that's another one, Tony, that we're going to have to watch. I mean, you know, Will running a limited schedule, I mean, he could be a threat to go cup, too.
Yes, I totally agree. And I really look forward to seeing these guys run at Winchester and may follow to Salem as well. Those, like I say, were races. They were ASA races, and I know them quite well. And it's really amazing how good they're doing, and they're taking care of their cars, and they're really, really some fine, fine racing. And I'm just, you know, I'm going to put it out there that Grant Infinger may be the next Jeff Gordon of NASCAR. He's very incredible, and I'm going to get with him at Winchester and get that young man and embrace yourself and get him taken care of and follow him even further. But moving on, just to let you guys know, the racing has been incredible. And how many of you fellas know Rico Abreu?
I've heard of him, Tony.
Well, let me tell you, this young man is incredible. And he is leading in a tie with Christopher Bell for the world in sprint cars, midgets, Silver Crown, super modifieds, everything. for his amount of wins. And he's had some horrible crashes, and he has come fighting right back. But he got another win out in California at Calistoga, and I want to throw it up for Rico Abreu. He is a challenged individual. He only stands about 4 foot tall. But the young man can race. He's incredible. And I urge our listeners, our fans, to follow Rico Abreu. He is Kyle Larson's best friend. And I look for this young man to be up and coming very soon and very quick out of the open wheel ranks. And I believe we'll see him in Nationwide. We could see him in ARCA. We could see him in all forms of motorsports. And just want everybody to keep their eyes open for Rico. He is tied with Christopher Bell for leading the world's rankings for that type of driving.
Sounds good, Tony. And just to throw this out before I forget, Tony, whenever you go to that ARCA race, go up to Will and Bill and tell them, you know, that you're on that, you know, that you do a segment on our show. They'll let you hang out. They're super cool. They're one big, great family.
That's really good to know. I want to reach out to these people and help them through Brace Yourself and help them through racing. That's my purpose and my goal in motorsports now, is to help people and families and with their endeavors. And I just want everybody to know, touching back real quick on Rico Abreu, being in that division, he is followed by Brian Clausen, and I hope everybody remembers Brian Clausen. He is going to be going back to IndyCar racing in 2015. He has signed an incredible deal. Donnie Schatz, Dave Darlan, Brady Hurst. There are a lot of very, very good people in that list. Joey Saldana. And that is from January 1st to June the 19th, is the world's leading winners of sprint, midget, super modified, and champ car races. But moving on from that, the IndyCars, the Rising IndyCars will be this weekend at Houston. Everybody needs to remember Houston. That's how we lost Dario Franchitti. He had a terrible crash there, and he is suffering from TBI, which is traumatic brain injury, and he is retired but doing media stuff and doing a wonderful job and putting his hand out like he always has to the fans, to the sponsors. And just remember, we do have a points chase, and things are really going to get going good in the Verizon IndyCar Series. Do you have anything, Tim?
Well, I just wanted to I don't really have nothing. Tony, I was going to let you have the floor to talk about what you're doing with Mr. Paul Cleveland and Brace Yourself. If you'd like to talk about that and all that stuff you got going, you go ahead, bud. You got the floor.
Well, I can tell you, Paul Cleveland is an incredible man from Australia. He was in a severe accident, and from his accident, he has taken his knowledge and he invented a device for neck and head safety. The great thing about this device is it doesn't have to be in your safety belts to work. And everybody knows in racing that when you put G-forces on your belts, I don't care if you're a 90-pound man, when you have G-forces against you and you're against those belts in a corner, they loosen. And therefore, our device with Brace Yourself does not require belts. Also, our device, Brace Yourself, you're able to turn your head to the left, to the right. And it doesn't matter if you're impacted from the front, from the rear, or from the side. This device works in all instances, and it is there to help people survive these accidents. And as we all know, an open wheel, you seem to have the inadvertent upside down and flip type accidents. But these accidents happen in go-karts. They happen in NASCAR, in the Camping World Truck Series, in the Nationwide Series. They're all high-impact, terrible accidents. And the bottom line is when you can support the head and the neck and keep it where it's supposed to be, and you're not counting on the safety belts to make it work, it is an incredible device. And the other thing is a lot of drivers, because some of the devices do go under the safety belts, they get eye flutter through the vibration that travels through the safety belts that are fastened to the car. They get vibration through the safety belts up into their eyes, and they lose vision on straightaways, or their eyes flutter so much that they cannot see. And that, there again, do not have that with Brace Yourself. I'd like to throw it out to Mr. Paul Cleveland. He is a wonderful man. And I have, with my knowledge and background, came on board with Brace Yourself. And I am Motorsports and Safety Director for the United States of America. And we are pushing this to help people, you know, family, friends, motorsports sanctioning bodies, team owners. Unfortunately, we're going to continue to have these accidents. We're just preparing the drivers to be able to go through an accident and walk away and race another day. And I thank you for the time, and I thank you, Stephen and Tim and Suzanne, for the time that you've allowed for Brace Yourself. It's a wonderful thing. We're going to help a lot of people, and it's with good help from people like you all that we're able to do this.
Thank you very much, Tony. And I know we're getting close to the end of our segment. Stephen, Tony, let me throw this out there. From this is the schedule at Kentucky Speedway for the at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, June 26th, a NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race, 150 laps, 225 miles, of Uno 225. That's on Thursday night for the fans that might want to watch that, which I know I will. And on Friday, June 27th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the NASCAR Nationwide Series race, 200 laps, 300 miles. Y'all listen to this one. This is a good one. John R. Elliott Campaign 300, presented by Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over. That's your Nationwide Series. And all these races are at night. I love night races. Saturday, June the 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Camping World Series race, 267 laps, 400.5 miles. The Quaker State 400, presented by Advance Auto Parts. And at this time, I would, Stephen, Tony, do you have anything?
No, I'm good. I will tell you this. I think we've got a couple drivers that are going to try and pull all three of them. Kyle Busch is going to go out there this weekend and try and pull all three races. The other one that is kind of a surprise that I'm seeing this weekend that's entered in all three is Joe Nemechek. is going to try and attempt all three events this weekend there in Kentucky. So I think come Saturday in the Sprint Cup race, I'm gonna have to take Kyle Busch. He's been rather dominant out there, and you know, I think this will be his next chance other than Bristol to actually do the triple again.
Okay, let me write this down. Steven is picking the 18 car. All right. Tony, you want to pick for the cup race?
I am, just as we speak, I am looking at our league standing, and
I'm ahead of you.
Well, you're ahead of Mr. Steven Wilson, and you're ahead of Mr. Tony Beginsky, but... you know, the old saying, even a blind squirrel will find an acorn every now and then. I believe me and Steven are coming. I really, really like your Kyle Busch pick. But I can say this, sitting in fourth position behind Speedway Digest, I'm going to go with Mr. Jeff Gordon. Jeff has got to pick it up. He's got to get up or get out. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is doing quite well. I look for him to do well also. But I'm picking Jeff Gordon to win at Kentucky.
Whoa. That's a good pick. Okay, I'm next in line, and then I'll bring Suzanne on last, or she can bring herself on. She's there in the screening room. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to go with a Toyota. I'm a big Chevy guy, but I'm going to go with a 20 car. Matt Kenseth. I think it's time for him.
He had quite a crash.
I know it. I want to bring Suzanne on. Suzanne, you want to come on and make your pick? Hey, Suzanne, how you doing? You're in the pit stop with Tim Spain, Steven Wilson, Mr. Todd Bigsby, and Tony Beginsky.
You know who my pick is going to be.
Gosh. Tony, go ahead and say it, Tony.
I know she's going to go with Dale Earnhardt Jr., but
okay.
All I can ask you, ma'am, you're an incredible woman. What time will the bacon be ready?
Whenever you get out of the shower, it'll be ready.
Okay, God bless you, and I will stand behind you 100%. I love Dale Earnhardt, but just don't forget to make my bacon. I got to eat.
I don't really like him, but Kyle Busch.
Oh, you picking? I thought you was picking an 88. So you picking an 18 like Steven did? Whoa!
I am. Tony, mark that down.
You know, I am marking that down.
Everybody, mark it down.
I'm marking that down, and it concerns me just a little bit coming from her. So, Tim, may I ask you a favor?
Yes, sir. What you need, bud?
Could you do a little training this week and learn how to fry me some bacon?
Yes, sir.
Amen, brother.
Yes, sir. I got you, bud. And now you and Miss Jen are coming in October, and Steven and Miss Anne Marie are going to be here. We're going to have a blast. We'll go to the race, and I'll make sure I got plenty of bacon.
I've got to have the bacon.
All right.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want to, Steven, I want to thank you for being such a good friend, and Todd Bigsby still on. I want to thank you, Todd, and Tony, thank you very much. And, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to the good Lord. You know, everything could not go like this, like it's going. Our show is really exploding, and I want to thank for the support from Talladega Super Speedway, Talladega Short Track, brace yourself, and Mr. Paul Cleveland, and all the support from Speedway Digest, all the support from all our fans, and thank y'all very much, and we'll talk to y'all next Tuesday night.
Sounds good.
Amen.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.
Good night.